of stories of other pastors the night before or the morning of getting really sick. And Steve called me this morning, and he was the one that was sick. So obviously, the devil didn't quite get who was preaching this morning. Sorry, Steve, but thank you for taking that bullet for me. So yeah, my name is Joel. This is the first time that I've actually done a sermon at a church, so I'm glad that it's the Sunday that we all come in late and that not everybody's here, because it's a little nerve-wracking for me. But when I was asked to do this sermon, as part of the series in first period here, I didn't know what sermon or what piece of passage I would be given. I was really thankful that I didn't have to do the passage on Christian marriage. Thank you, Craig, for taking that one. But today we will be looking at chapter 4, which continues the theme of Christian suffering that Steve started last week. As I began to read this passage and begin to study this passage, I realized that I was given a passage that essentially says that if we follow God, if we do life with Jesus, that we will suffer. Well, this doesn't sound too great and can kind of sound discouraging, but, and this is a really big but, it is, or it's good. Peter in this passage does not use language that is somber, sad, afraid, or terrified, but rather it is uplifting and encouraging. It's a passage that says, hey, I got some bad news, but I have some even better news. I hope by the end of this, you somehow get that doing life with Jesus is better than doing life without him. So suffering for being a Christian, in verse 12, Peter says that, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Do not be surprised that this suffering is happening. You know, Jesus himself suffered. He was put to death on a cross. If the leader of Christianity was put to death, it should come to no surprise to us that we will face some kind of suffering too. In John 15:18, Jesus says that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Peter here is trying to get to the point that, don't you know what you signed up for? It is like a soldier who goes off to war. He signs up, enlists, does all of his training, and he goes out onto the battlefield, and the bullets start flying his way. And he turns around and he runs back to his commanding officer, and he cries and says, they're shooting at me. Well, what do you think that commanding officer is going to say? He's going to say, get back out there. Don't you know what you signed up for? Now, just as a soldier, we as Christians are in a battle. We face an opposition, and that leader of the opposition is Satan. He will use his army and other people to try and discourage us and stop us. Every day, every hour, every minute, he is trying to take us down, doing the best he can to destroy our relationship with God and prevent us from sharing our relationship with Jesus to others. Now, for the first century Christians, they were facing some real scary opposition. It was illegal for them to be Christian. You know, Nero would take Christians and light them on fire, creating human torches out of them, trying to stop them just because they were Christian, doing this to stifle the Christian uprising in the first century because Christians were a threat to him, as Nero said that he was Lord. And they were also a threat to the culture in general as they rejected a lot of different cultural practices because of the association that those practices had with sin and idolatry. Now, there is no physical evidence that there was this physical persecution to the recipients of the letter that that Peter was writing. These recipients were not facing this fiery death, this being lit on fire. But the persecution that Peter is writing here is to the general persecution and suffering that the church was facing. That was just as bad as literal fire. You know, they were facing lots of suffering. They had the knowledge that this fiery suffering was going on, their brothers and sisters being lit on fire in Rome. Though they were not the ones having this, they still dealt with some very scary stuff. Now, today we don't quite face those persecutions. There's nobody hunting us down. There's nobody driving us out of our communities or putting us down like that. But today, the opposition for us might look more like somebody making fun of us. It might be throwing insults our way. Maybe it's not getting a job or a promotion just based on the fact that we are Christian. Maybe it's friends and family members not wanting to spend time with us because we're no longer seen as fun. We're different. Now, don't let the teaching of the prosperity gospel fool you. Suffering will come, but that suffering is worth it. The closer that we become to Jesus, the more of a threat we will be to the devil. Now, if I was playing basketball, and we're all playing basketball here, this is a really big game, and I'm standing at center court, just with my arms crossed, and watching you guys play, are you going to guard me? Are you going to try and stop me from scoring? No, because I'm not even trying to score myself. But as I get into the game, as I participate in the sport that we're all playing, you're going to start to guard me. You're going to attack because I'm a threat to you. And as I continue and I play better and I score more and all of that, you're going to attack me more. You're going to guard me more. Maybe another teammate of yours is going to come over and guard me. The closer that we get to Jesus, the more of a threat we are to the devil, and the more suffering that will come. We are going to be fouled, and we are going to face an opposition. So knowing that we will face suffering and face this opposition, what should we do? Well, verse 1, Peter writes that we should arm ourselves with the attitude of Christ. You know, this is not something that we do when we face our struggles, but this is something that we have with us when we face our struggles. It is not something that we put on when we face our struggles. It's just like a soldier when he goes out to war. He doesn't go out to war, put on his helmet and put on his boots and everything to keep him safe when the bullets start flying around. No, he does that prior to going out. In the same sense, we as Christians need to arm ourselves before we go to battle. You know, we need to read the Bible and absorb the personhood of who Jesus was so that we may be able to display that. You know, I think one of the greatest attributes and attitudes that Jesus displayed was his humility. You know, Jesus made himself nothing, leaving his splendor in heaven with the Father to come to earth as a servant. You know, as Christ, we need to put the interests of others first. When we face suffering, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. I think of the time when Jesus was arrested, and Peter himself takes out his sword and cuts the ear off of the soldier. And what is Jesus' response? He picks that ear up and places it back on the soldier and heals him. Not, do you know who I am? Though I think that was obviously conveyed, but it was that of a humble servant. And it is this humility that an attitude that we need to have when we face our struggles. Now, Peter says that we need to live a life for God. This is the next thing that we need to do when we face our suffering. In verses 2 and 3, he says that we are no longer to live in a life full of sin, but rather live a life for God and with Jesus. We have spent too much time already living a life without Jesus, whether that was 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, 50 years of our lives. Just 1 minute not spending it with Jesus is too long, and we do not turn back to our old ways. In verse 15, Peter says, and he gives a list of sufferings that we are able to avoid because we live a life for God. He says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief of any other criminal or any other criminal or even as a meddler. By living a life for God, we are able to avoid unnecessary suffering that comes from sin. You know, we are not to fall back to our old ways, to fall back to sin. In Colossians 3, 5 to 6, Paul writes that, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature or sinful nature, the sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, Paul uses some very strong language here. He says, put to death. It is no longer who you are. We put it to death because at some point, judgment day is coming. And at the end of the day, by living a life with Jesus, we will be able to stand on the winning side with him. Now, Peter continues to write and says that we should also share the gospel. Now, judgment day is coming. And with this knowledge, there needs to be an urgency in sharing the good news of the gospel. Nowhere does Peter say that we should just lay down and hide, keep our mouth shut, and give up. Matthew 10, 23, Jesus said that when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. It doesn't matter how much insults are thrown your way, keep going. Now, when my wife and I got married, we had some wine at our wedding, and not everybody decided to drink all the wine. And so the next day, before we went off to our honeymoon, Heather and I went to our apartment for the first time, and we had all this wine that was open, and anybody who drinks wine knows that once you open it, you gotta drink it. It does go bad. It's not a non-perishable item. Once you open it, yeah, you gotta use it. So I decided, you know, we're going off on our honeymoon the next morning. There's no way Heather and I are going to be able to drink all this wine. So why don't I go to our neighbors in our condo building and share with them? So I built up the courage. You know, I thought I was going to go do a nice thing. I walk down the hall and I knock on the door. And this man opens the door just a crack, like this much. And he says, "What?" I said to him, "Me and my wife, we just got married. I'm holding bottles of wine in my hand," and gave him my spiel of how we have wine that needs to be drunk, and you can drink it, but don't get drunk on it, because that's a sin. And his response was to tell me he doesn't drink wine and slam the door in my face. I've never felt so defeated in my life. I felt like a dog with a tail between his legs. At that moment, I thought I was doing something that was good. I thought I was actually sharing the love of God with our neighbors. And what I did was I walked back to our apartment, opened up the door, walked in, and I told Heather what happened and said, "I don't even want to go to other neighbors and have to feel defeated like this." But this is not what Peter tells us to do. Peter encourages his readers to keep going. Don't just give up like I did, but carry on. Go knock on other neighbors' doors. You know, someone will listen. And trust me, just being able to share the good news of the gospel with just one person and they accept it is worth all the rejection. Peter continues and says that we should pray. And Peter writes that we need to have a clear mind. In other words, we need to be alert so that we do not let our guard down. Now, having a clear mind or in other verses is to have a sober mind. You know, this is actually a virtue that in general culture they valued in the first century. But Peter says that as Christians we are to do this so that we can pray. It's at the foundation of how we and why we pray. Having this clear mind and alertness will allow us to pray. You know, back to the army reference, the soldier going out to war, as he is taking fire, he was going to be in communication with his commanding officer, you know, getting support and direction from him. You know, prayer is our connection with God, and as we draw near to him, he will keep us safe. Now, the next thing that we should do is to love one another, and this as Christians or anybody who knows anything about Christianity should not come of any surprise. The word love here in this verse in the Greek text is actually the word agape love. Now, this is a love that is able to be commanded because it's not an emotional type of love. It is a love that you make by choice. The reason that we are commanded to love one another is because love covers a multitude of sins. It does not mean that our love for one another atones or somehow gets rid of our sins or saves anybody else of their sins. But by choosing to love someone, you are going to choose to forgive sins and overlook others' faults. This is something that will bring harmony to the church and bring peace and unite us as a church. By having this agape love for one another, we will show the love that God has given us, showing forgiveness and grace to others. Now, Peter outlines two ways that we can show this love. The first is that we should offer hospitality and do this without grumbling. We are not to have a pity party because we have to show hospitality to one another. Now, Peter is writing to an audience that hospitality is very much needed. With everything that was going on in the time, many Christians were being forced from their homes, being driven out of their communities. They needed a place to stay. Many, if not all the hotels or inns at the times were not good places. Lots of sinful stuff was going on in those places, and you can use your imagination of what might have been going on. But even if Christians decided to go to these places and chose to abstain from these sinful acts, those very people who were heaping abuse and ridicule on them were there. And it's not hard to imagine that the abuse would continue to be poured on them in those places. So this is why Peter writes that we are to show hospitality. Now today we don't have the same stuff going on. Our hotels are relatively safe and good places to go to. But I'd encourage you to still show hospitality. It might look like inviting someone over for dinner. You know, there are many college students here that would love that, and really, who wouldn't? Yes, there may be a burden that comes with being hospitable, but don't grumble about it. You are blessed for it, and I think anybody who has ever invited somebody over for dinner understands the blessing that it is to show hospitality. Now, Peter continues and says that we should serve one another by using the gifts that the Lord has given us. And we are to do this with God's strength. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus said, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." We are to serve one another so that God may be praised. So the theme of this year at the church is that doing life with Jesus is better than doing life without him. Initially, when I started to prepare for this sermon and began to do my study, I really struggled with this thought. Now, how do I tell you that because you are going to be a Christ follower and do life with Jesus, that you will face suffering, that you will be made fun of, insulted, and that you will be attacked by the devil and his demon army? You know, that doesn't sound so great, but it is. As I got into my study and wrestled with the question, how is doing life with Jesus better than doing life without him when it means that I have to suffer? I realized here that Peter is not using a negative tone. He is not being somber in his writing, and he is being quite the opposite. As he is writing to the first century church, he is encouraging them to keep going. And he reminds them that this suffering is only temporary. When Jesus returns and his glory is fully revealed, we will be able to participate in that. It makes me think of being a sports fan, and I'm a Leafs fan, so I've gone through lots of suffering. I'm seeing a smile here and some nods from people. We understand. At least we're not Habs fans. That's even worse. But as sports fans, we go with our team. We stay loyal, and we go through the ups and downs because of the hope that one day they will win. That hope seems far off for us as Leaf fans right now, but that's okay. At the end of the day, if we just think about it, they're eventually going to have to win. But when they win, It's going to be amazing. And we will be able to celebrate with them in that and understand what it took to get there. We will be able to say that through the thick and the thin, we supported them, not just jumping on the bandwagon at the end of the day. You know, Peter also encourages us that we will no longer be here on this earth and that we will no longer face any suffering of any kind. And that at the end of the day, when Jesus returns, just like when the Leafs win the cup, we will be able to celebrate in glory with him. But I also really appreciated that Peter in this verse doesn't just talk about the reward at the end of our life or when Jesus returns. But there are rewards in the here and now. When we suffer for doing something that is good, there is a peace that comes with it. Peter writes to those who are suffering and tells them that they are blessed. There is an overwhelming peace that comes when you do something good, even when you are insulted for it. You know, we are blessed because the Spirit rests on us. There is a peace that comes when we experience the Holy Spirit. Now, being persecuted, facing suffering, it brings a different level of intimacy with Jesus that can't be experienced otherwise because we share in his sufferings with him. You know, the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7, as he's standing there about to be stoned by these men, he looks up and he sees Jesus standing there beside God. He's about to die. Yet he has a smile on his face and is saying, "Boys, throw the first stone. I know where I'm going." You know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they're thrown into the fiery furnace for being a Christian. And the people who throw him in, they go, "Didn't we throw three in there? Why is there four?" So close to the Spirit they were that the fire didn't even touch them. You know, the same thing with Daniel. He's thrown into a lion's den, a den of lions that were starved, and they should have just eaten him to shreds once he was thrown in there. But God closes the mouths of the lions, and he is spared. He learns, and he experienced the intimacy with God and how great he is. It is during these times that we get to experience the greatness of God, a God who wants to be intimate with us. The more difficult the suffering, the more that we experience Jesus and the greater intimacy we have with him. Now, there are two types of people here today, and I know that I might be overgeneralizing this when I say this, but just track with me here. There are a group of people here today that, unfortunately, they do not know Jesus. They don't have a relationship with them. You know, if you leave here today and you only take one thing away, it is that doing life with Jesus is better than doing life without him, even though suffering will come. Yes, there is a cost to following Jesus. It might make you uncomfortable, it might suck, but it is worth it. The hope that comes with following Jesus is a hope that will last forever. The other group of people that are here today are the ones who know Jesus and have a relationship with him. If you are in that camp today, I hope that you leave here today feeling encouraged. This is the reason why Peter wrote this letter. He was encouraging the early Christians to keep going amidst the suffering, the chaos, the pain, and the agony. You know, Jesus is with you every step of the way. You are not alone. Do not be ashamed. Praise God that you bear the name and rejoice in your suffering. Not because you enjoy the suffering, but because of the union that it brings with you to Christ. Continue to live a life for God. Now I invite the worship team to come back up and sing our last song, and I'm just going to pray. God, thank you for today, and thank you for the opportunity to share what you placed on my heart to share with this congregation today. And I pray that we understand and know that doing life with you is better than doing life without you, even though that means we will struggle. We will face suffering. And I pray that we will rely on your strength to face this suffering, and that we will keep going and follow you. Amen.